Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Simon Obold Eshelman. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with me. We're going to start with, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
And what grade are you in?
Seventh grade.
And we're going to come back to school later. We're going to start with some fun stuff. Where were you born?
Portland.
So you've lived in Portland your whole life?
Correct.
And someone told me about some of the things that you are interested in, so we're going to jump right in. Radio-controlled cars. When I say that, what do you hear? And tell me about it.
So, I have a lot of radio-controlled cars. I have several years of experience with the more expensive hobby-grade ones that can easily go over 80 miles an hour, some of them.
How did this get started?
Well, it all kind of started when I had gotten a $20 radio-controlled car at Target, just a little cheap toy-grade one. Couldn't do very much, couldn't go very fast, but then it all kind of sparked my interest, and then I started, I guess, researching more about it, and then eventually I made my first big purchase of $140 for one, and I have bought more and more and more expensive ones after that, that are bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Do you actually pay for these yourself, or who buys
them? Yes.
Where are you getting this money?
Well, I cut a lot of my neighbor's grass, and they pay me for it. And I also cut grandparents' grass. And a lot of the money also comes from birthday and Christmas.
So people know to give you money.
Yes.
Is there a certain brand of car that's better than another?
Well, a lot of the hobby grade ones, they're all kind of about the same level, but some of them are a little bit higher up than the others.
Where do you run these cars?
I can run them inside, but they're usually so muddy and dirty that my parents don't let me. But I mean, I can drive them in the backyard. I can go out to a field and drive them. I can go to the skate park, all kinds of places.
Do you have friends that you like to do this with?
Yeah, I have two friends that also have hobby-grade RC cars that I go driving with sometimes.
And what's your ultimate goal?
Probably get some more RC cars, and I'm currently trying to get a higher-end drone that I can put my 4K camera on so that I can start making little short few-minute videos of fun with my cars, and I can get aerial footage, and I'm currently trying to get the drone. It's kind of fast, goes 55 miles an hour. I almost have enough money for it.
That was actually the next thing I was going to ask you about, so that's what's called a segue, a perfect move from one topic to the next. You don't currently have a drone?
I have a lot of little cheap ones that are all under $100, but I'm going to get one that's well over $100, and I will have to register it under the FAA.
What are you doing with the little ones that you have? Do they have cameras on them or anything? Or?
Well, most of them don't work. I think all but one of them don't actually fly, because I've had them for a long time, and I crashed them a lot, or I broke the charger, or the remote stopped working. Yeah.
And where did this interest in drones get started? How did you learn about drones?
Well, probably from YouTube. I started watching videos about drones, and then I remember I was so excited when I got my first camera drone. I never did get the camera to work on it. But it was a good drone to fly. It was a little cheap drone, but it flew quite well until I killed the battery on it.
Do you fly those mostly outdoors, I'm guessing?
Well, right now, the ones that I have, they're so small that if I did fly them outside, they'd blow away. So they're little tiny ones that I can fly around inside and crash into stuff, and they won't break stuff. But once I get the bigger one, it could hardly fly through the doorways. So it's a pretty big drone.
Is it easy to fly a drone?
It really depends what drone. Some drones, they're really, really user-friendly, and almost anybody could fly them. And then there's others that you have to have a lot of experience to even be able to get up off the ground. So there's many different skill levels.
And where would you put yourself right now?
Starting to get up into the medium, kind of apprentice-level drone flyer.
And when you get this big one with the camera, what kinds of pictures are you hoping to be able to take?
I'm hoping to be able to get some really cool aerial photos from about where our house is to looking downtown. And we're a couple miles away, so I'll be allowed to fly up to 400 feet without permission. But above 400 feet, I'll have to get permission from air traffic control to make sure there's no aircraft in the airspace.
And are you planning to do that?
Oh, yes.
Because that will allow you to do more of what you want to do, or why?
Yeah, I'll be able to get some really, really amazing pictures. I'm hoping to get some really amazing pictures of Mount Hood when we go out to Wildwood. I'm thinking that'll be really fun to get some really good aerial photos.
Do you want to do anything with those pictures, like sell them, or is it just for you?
Well, I think mostly just share them with friends and maybe post some of them online. And I've gotten into a new sort of hobby. I've gotten into a lot of video editing.
Editing? What's that like?
It's very intense work, but it's really fun, and the rewards are amazing, and it's kind of instant gratification, which is really fun.
You know that you're talking to someone who does tons of audio editing, and I have no interest in video, so I'm glad to hear that a lot of other people do, because that's just one more complicating factor. But yeah, you're right. When you get to do something that you correct something or you fix it or it sounds better, isn't it so cool?
Yeah, I've been working on a lot of stuff of video editing. It's intense work, but the payoff is so nice.
And I understand that you have one other kind of hobby thing that you do behind your house. What's back there?
My shop.
Tell me about that. Is it yours or is it everybody's?
It is not mine, but it's pretty much mine in the sense that it's my space. I can do whatever I want in there. I can do whatever I want to it, and I can set it up how I want, and I can kick people out.
People like who? We forgot to mention that you have a sibling.
Yes, my younger sibling, she is pretty much never allowed in there because there are a lot of dangerous tools in there, and right now it is a huge mess. I am completely redoing the whole thing, painting the ceiling, painting all the walls, maybe even putting new windows in. It's a huge mess right now, and pretty much nobody but me is allowed in there right now in fear of something getting knocked over or broken.
What's your younger sister's name?
Cora.
So what do you do in this shop?
So far, I mean, we've only been living at this house for just over a year now, and I'm finally starting to get it set up. I have bought my first power tools. I have a starter amount of them. I have a few basic tools, miter saw, sander, drill, impact driver, and circular saw, just the basics.
You're working with wood.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get some metalworking tools in the near future, though.
What are you making with this wood? I mean, once you get your shop set up.
Some stuff that I already have made are these speaker boxes. I get sheets of plywood, and I also acquire speakers. Then I make speaker boxes out of them, and I have a few more to make, and then I'll be out of speakers, and then I'll have to find more speakers to make boxes for. I'm thinking of also starting a website that I can custom make speaker boxes for people.
So that's kind of your main thing right now is speaker boxes.
Yeah.
How many speakers does one room need?
If you ask me, you're going to get a different answer than my parents.
I'm asking you.
I personally like a lot of speakers. Might sound kind of crazy, but I have 2 surround sound systems in my room and a huge pile of speaker boxes that I've made. And then I have a gigantic box of speakers in my closet that I need to make boxes for yet.
What do you listen to on your many speakers?
Electronic music.
And I'll just note that Simon just showed me his boxes and they're pretty cool. Sorry, everybody can't see them, but I'm sure that once he gets his woodworking shop set up and COVID-19 is gone, he'll be more than happy to give tours, right?
Yes.
Do you have any pets at your house?
I have 1 cat. She is part Siamese and she hates cuddling. She absolutely hates it. But occasionally she will snuggle up with somebody. She will not sit on your lap. It just will not happen. But she's a indoor-outdoor cat. She goes in and out as she pleases. She likes to throw up everywhere. She has a tendency to throw up on our floor, which I don't care because I don't have to clean it up. So it's not all that bad for me.
What is this cat's name?
Fusa.
Does it have a meaning?
It's a name of an animal that I think lives in Madagascar. Baby, and her colors are very similar to the Fusa.
So you said you didn't have to clean things up when this cat throws up.
But right.
I'm guessing that there are some things that you need to do around the house, what we used to call, or maybe you still call chores. Do you have any of those that you're responsible for?
Well, I'm responsible for just helping out in general. Not really any specific chores that I do every day other than take care of the cat, feeding her, and cleaning out her litter box. Yuck.
We want to talk a little bit about school, but I also want to talk about the fact that you're doing school in the midst of a pandemic right now, and you also did that for probably about half of last year.
Last quarter.
What grade are you in?
7th grade.
And which school do you go to?
Roseway Heights Middle School.
You're in 7th grade this year. Did you switch schools between last year and this year?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was kind of hard because I had my friends at my old school, but from my elementary school, there's a few people at my new school that I know. 2 or 3 people.
What happened to the others?
It was because at my old school, they were going to do in-person, but at my new school, they're doing it online because it's part of PPS.
Portland Public Schools.
Yeah.
So you got a little bit used to doing online last year, the last quarter. Is it 100% online right now again?
Yes. There's no in-person interactions. It's all online.
Tell me about that, especially maybe how hard, or maybe not, it was last year to make that change quickly. Talk a little bit about school.
So starting with last year, for me personally, it was not all that hard to change completely to online because, I mean, it meant that we wouldn't have to do choir. So.
Not your favorite class?
It's not my favorite class. But we still got to do math.
And he smiles. You must like math.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any hopes over the summer that you might be actually able to go back in person this fall? Or?
It would have been kind of nice if we were able to go back to in person this fall. But since we didn't, I mean, for me, I'm not too much of a social person. so I can easily find plenty of stuff to do. I have a lot of stuff to mess with in my room. I have my shop. Yeah, plenty of stuff. And I have taken apart many computers. I have a computer, several CD players, a bunch of routers, and the innards of a TV up on my wall.
Sounds like you need a bigger room.
Yeah, if I had more wall space, I would have a bit more space to hang up my goodies that I extract out of old electronics.
Do you have any idea where this interest in taking things apart and putting things together came from? Is your dad or your grandparents anybody?
No. My grandparents, my mom's parents, they have a medical background. Well, my grandpa, he did work in construction for a few years. My dad's dad, he was a pastor. And my dad's mom was a teacher. So it most likely came from my grandpa, who worked in construction for several years.
And this is a good time to just get both of your parents' names.
My mom's name is Krista, and my dad's name is Stephen.
And both sets of grandparents also go to Portland Mennonite Church, right?
Yes.
So you have three generations who go to Portland Mennonite.
Yeah.
And you've gone there your entire life.
Yep.
Tell me something about Portland Mennonite that you miss and maybe something that you don't miss right now during COVID.
What I don't miss is sitting through the sermon. Something that I do miss, though, is after church fun, running around with friends, sneaking into places.
Can you tell us any of those places?
We go up and after the service and hang out up in the MYF room a lot, which is kind of fun.
Do you also miss things like church retreat and Wildwood?
Definitely. Those were definitely highlights of the year.
Speaking of Wildwood, which is kind of campy, your family goes camping sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. Were you able to go anywhere this summer?
Actually, yes. And the only reason that we were able to is because all the bathrooms are no-go zones. My grandparents, they have a big RV that they take and they stay in it. And then we tag along so that we can use the bathroom in there. My parents, they always say that we're not going to hang out in the RV much at all, but we spend most of our time in it hanging out because it's fun.
Where do you go? Do you know?
Well, this year we went out to Wallawa Lake in eastern Oregon. And right after that, in the same trip, we went out to Palouse Falls in Washington. It's the only falls still there from the Ice Age. I think in the U.S. I think it's the only falls that's still there from the Ice Age. It still has water running over it. And then right before we went back to school, we went out to Westport, Washington to camp in the central Washington coast. Obviously, this was still in the middle, still pandemic. But yeah, it was the most recent camping trip. It was fun. There's a beach there, and there were trails that I was able to ride excessively fast on my mountain bike, have fun. And I finally got to ride my bike on sand.
And what was that like?
It was hard.
This is your mountain bike?
Yeah, it's my mountain bike.
Because the sand kind of gave way, right?
Yeah, it just kind of sinks in. But after I got out across the dry, fluffy sand, I got onto the wet sand, and that was really easy to ride on.
When your family just goes without your grandparents, is it tent camping?
Yeah, we have a 6-person tent that we camp in.
Tell me about food when you're camping.
Something that we always have, it's just a fun meal. They're called campfire dinners. So you have a cabbage leaf and you put meat, carrots, potatoes, celery, all that kind of stuff in. And then you put another cabbage leaf on top of it. and then you wrap it up in a bunch of layers of tin foil, and then you just put it over the fire, and then it's really good. Your cat, this super juicy meat juice leaks out into the potatoes and carrots, and it's very tasty. And then, of course, you have to have s'mores and hot dogs if you go camping, too.
Speaking of food, and not necessarily when you're camping, but maybe, do you have a favorite food or a favorite meal if you get to choose?
I don't know, really. I have a lot of favorite meals when we go camping. But something that I really like is for breakfast having, I forget what they're called. They're little tiny hot dogs that are about an inch long. That come
little Smokies?
Yes, little Smokies. Those are always fun to have on a cold morning.
Everybody is experiencing the pandemic at the age that they happen to be right now. So you're experiencing it at age 12, and I'm experiencing it at an age that's quite a bit older than that. What do you think you will say to your children or future generations about what it was like to live in this historic time?
You could not go to the grocery store without a mask. Of course, they probably won't have grocery stores. It'll just be all online shopping. So, and everything was shut down. Lots of stuff happened.
And a lot of people died. I guess that's what happens in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
On a more positive note, if you could spend the perfect day doing anything that you wanted to do from morning till night, what would you be doing?
Would that be like a 24 hours or
anything?
24 hour day?
Anything you want.
Well, something that I've always wanted to do is go to the warehouse down in Texas, the Traxxas warehouse. That's one of the brands that I like a lot. I have a few cars from them. And just get a few cars there, get a few of their drones, and then just go have fun with them.
And you'd do it for 24 hours if you could.
Oh, yeah. I'd also go on an hour-long shopping spree at Home Depot.
And you're buying what?
Power tools.
Do you have a specific kind of wood that you like as well?
Not really. I just get whatever's on sale, whatever's kind of cheap and looks nice. Because plywood can get very, very expensive for the nice sheets, which I've had to buy a few times.
And what you don't know is that you were talking to a carpenter's daughter. I grew up with my dad's shop in the back, and he was a professional carpenter. So the smell of wood is something I think you and I probably both enjoy.
Yeah. I wish I could work with more cedar because it just smells so good.
And finally, what is something about you that you haven't already talked about, maybe, or maybe that you have, that most people at Portland Mennonite Church don't know about you?
Well, I don't really know that much.
I'm guessing that your friends at Portland know most of what you told me. Is that right?
Yeah.
But the adults probably learned a lot of things about you that they never knew before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we ask of these interviews. So, Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us some of the parts of your life that we didn't know about.
No problem.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.